Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show is brought to you by Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group, retirementkey.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show on the second day of January. Happy 2025. Kim St. Ange, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Ready to get the new year started. I mean, what a weekend. It felt like a weekend, didn't it? Because we were here Tuesday and then New Year's Eve and off yesterday. And we've got terrorist attacks going on. We've got a shooting in downtown St. Louis at what for many years has been a very popular drinking establishment, the Wheelhouse.
I would say it still is. And we're talking about a bar that's two blocks from Busch Stadium. Not like obviously anything was going on there, but to me, that's just very jarring.
Right. Jarring. And I got some information on that this morning I'm going to share with people because it's really just a sad state of affairs, what's gone on here in downtown. I mean, it's just not at all what the city wants as its image for people that go out. There was a big scuffle, I understand, at Ballpark Village at the same time. So at roughly two blocks away, Ballpark Village had some stuff going on. It didn't result in a shooting. The one at Wheelhouse ends up with somebody being shot to death by a police officer who was working seconds at Wheelhouse. So the shots you hear in the video, and we had to clean it up because we got some of the raw video, is pretty jarring, to be honest with you. It's a mess down there for sure. And we're going to talk more about that throughout the course of the morning here. Hang on. Ethan's handing me a piece of paper here with the rundown on it. We're trying to get you a live report out of New Orleans this morning. Obviously, Fox News has people down there. As an Odyssey station, we have people down there as well. We have people at WWL, which is the radio station owned by our parent company, and we've reached out to them this morning as well to see if they could provide somebody to kind of give us an update. There's lots of different stories coming out about, you know, preparations for this. Why weren't there? They have blockades that can be lifted, bollards, so to speak, to block off these streets, make sure they're pedestrian. Apparently, they weren't working because they're trying to upgrade them before the Super Bowl in 35 days. And there are questions about that. There's questions about this police chief they have down there who looks like Granny Clampett. Have you seen her?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
You're not wrong.
And apparently, she's bounced all over the country under DEI hires. She worked in Oakland. She got fired out there. That's one of the worst crime-ridden areas in America. We've got the... I know FBI agents. You know I love you. But DEI at work at the field agent office in New Orleans. So the lady they tried out there as the special agent in charge, assistant special agent in charge for the FBI, who first told us this was not a terrorist attack, Even the guys clad in military gear
had a nicest flag
with IEDs
hanging from the truck.
Yeah, you can see it with your own eyes. This is not a terrorist attack. She says to me, now, if you say anything to me and you have a nose ring, I'm automatically deducting IQ points right there off the bat.
Well,
apparently,
shoot, I'll cancel my appointment.
Apparently, that is against FBI rules, is what I'm told. That they're not allowed to have nose piercings. This girl, I don't know if she came from the nightclub to show up to do the news conference. She had a nose pierce. It was just so many things to talk about with what's happened down there. In addition to the loss of at least 15 lives and dozens of other people who were in the hospital injured from what this terrorist pulled off. I mean, and the fact that he's, you know, a military veteran, U.S. Citizen, irrelevant. We've seen this before. We've had many people who've been radicalized who happen to have been born here. Now they've discovered IEDs near one of the cathedrals in New Orleans. I don't know if there's more than one cathedral. They found IEDs. So it appears that maybe they were going to try to kill Catholics as they turned out for Mass on New Year's Day, potentially.
Which is why they had to postpone the Sugar Bowl, because they had to do an additional sweep of the Superdome there to make sure there was no plan to potentially do something, to the thousands of people who would be there for that.
Absolutely. It's a complete mess. The bombing then in New Orleans or in Las Vegas involving the Cybertruck. I mean, Elon Musk has been all over this. He's given us more information than the police have on it. Did you read any of his tweets this morning? We'll get into those in just a couple of minutes. He's been out there kind of not only cooperating, he's received praise from law enforcement for cooperating, but he was able to tell them the complete status of that truck in the seconds before it blew up. There was nothing wrong with the truck. It had the bed of it was filled with explosives. And that wasn't just some random event, as was initially reported. So we'll get to all that for you here coming up in just a couple minutes. Ethan in for Carl Middleman, who is was driving yesterday again to Florida and back to retrieve his child, and is going to get back just in time for the big snow event that's supposed to happen this weekend. Yeah, and he's supposed to return her to Chicago in the middle of that mess. So we'll have to get an update from Carl at some point in the next day or two on how that's going. Ethan, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
This is not a terrorist event. What it is right now is their improvised explosive device.
Yeah, because those are just laying all over the place. What is the definition of terrorism, ma'am? That would be my question for her.
And as we know, this is not just an act of terrorism. This is evil.
Yeah, that's the New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick, the one I was telling you about a little earlier. The memes on her have been classic so far. Seriously.
You plan to go to President Carter's funeral?
I do. I'll be there. We were invited.
Have you spoken with any Carter family members?
I'd rather not say.
Wow. They were asking President Trump over the weekend about Jimmy Carter's funeral, which he is apparently planning to attend. This should be a little bit of high drama there. But if he hadn't attended, can you imagine the media criticism of that event?
Police officer working his secondary job, shooting a man in downtown St. Louis hours into the new year. First Alert 4 is using this video posted by Citizens for a Greater Downtown, which initially shows over a dozen people fighting around the intersection of Spruce and 10th Street before gunshots rang out.
Yeah, what a mess. This is outside of the wheelhouse. My son and a group of us spent time at that bar surrounding his 21st birthday, as I remember. Wheelhouse is one of the places where we stopped. So, I mean, I've been in there a few times. Obviously, that's been several years ago.
Well, it's not just
in his mid-20s now.
It's not just a popular bar for people to go out on a, say, Friday or Saturday night, but it's also a popular brunch spot. In fact, it was supposed to have a big New Year's Day brunch where I'm assuming family were planning to go there. And
really?
They showed up and the doors were locked. in light of this investigation. I've not been there for brunch, but I do know that that's something that people like to do.
Yeah, I didn't. I was unaware of that. I did not know that they did brunch down there. So I watched that video of the shooting, and we'll get more into this here after the break. I watched that video of the shooting, and I reached out to some friends who are St. Louis area officers to find out what. First of all, my initial concern was that one of them was involved down there, because they often, if you're a police officer, you work seconds. I mean, that's the nature of policing these days. It doesn't pay well enough to pay the bills, and most of these men and women work secondary jobs at bars on the weekends, at events, at churches. I mean, they all do it to make extra money. So my initial concern was, I heard the gunshots. I didn't know at the time they were fired by a police officer on the scene. So I reached out, and some of what I was told was shocking, I just have to say. And it speaks to the out-of-control crime problem we have in the city, and the lack of awareness, maybe, by the authorities to do anything about it. By the authorities, I mean the elected officials in the city, and why it couldn't be more important ever for the city police to be under the control of the state again, for sure. So we'll get to that here in just a couple of minutes. Ethan, who is bringing us the national anthem on the second day of January of 2025?
Even with Carl not being here, he still gave me all the music. So
oh, good.
He went with Chris Stapleton.
Let's hit it.
Can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Was some of the audio from outside of the wheelhouse this weekend. I'm sorry to laugh because somebody died, but it was raw, and it was video saved online, and you can hear the emotion there, and you would have heard the gunshots if we let it play a little bit longer. Rapid fire, and here's the difficulty here. Of course, I see the video. I see some people with shirts on that say police, and one of them's just standing there watching while this thing, two different fist fights break out, right? And you can feel the emotion just watching it starting to rise a little bit as people join into these fights. One to the left, one to the right. There's at least one officer trying to break up one of the fights. The other one's going on over here on the right all by itself. And then you hear the gunshots. And, of course, I reached out to police officers I know who work seconds downtown worried about them, making sure they weren't in the middle of this. Because at the time, I didn't realize the person doing the shooting was the officer who'd been hired to work security outside of the wheelhouse. And fortunately, nobody I knew was there. But the guy who was there is an officer who came in from Ledington, Missouri, to work seconds at the wheelhouse. Do you know where Ledington, Missouri is?
I Googled it.
Where is it?
It's kind of not DeSoto. It's
South.
Yeah. I was going to say it's south. I can't remember how far
down near
away
Bonterre.
It was, but
it's a
not
hall.
Not close. Why?
It's a hall.
Do we know why the person was working here?
I do have some insight on that.
That seemed random.
You
to
know
me.
Why they had to hire somebody from Ledington, Missouri to come up and do seconds? Because local St. Louis police officers will not take the job. Let me read a portion of the comments to you from a friend of mine who is an officer in the city. No city guys will work there anymore. They offer over $100 an hour to police officers to work seconds there. He said, I wouldn't do it for $300. Here's the problem. He said, there are so much drugs, guns, gangs, etc. there. That they have to find police officers who don't know that from well outside of the area to lure them in with the rate of pay. They wear hoodies with the word police on the back of it. Because they're not local officers, they're not city officers, they have no arrest authority. They can call for backup, but they call for backup just like you or I would call 911, then you have to wait for on-duty St. Louis police officers to get there. If it's a St. Louis officer who's working seconds, they can arrest the guy while they're there. They don't have to wait for backup from somebody else. So they have basically no authority, and the place is run by gangbangers on the weekends. This is straight from a friend of mine who's a police officer. He said local officers won't work there anymore. Now, that begs a couple of questions. Number one, I know on Washington Avenue, the city's gone in and shut down nuisance clubs. They've done it before. They pulled their bar license. They pulled their liquor license. You can do something about places like this that are a problem. But why won't they do it? What political connection do the wheelhouse people have that just allows this to go on, right? Like I ask my son, when's the last time you're at wheelhouse? He goes, it's been years. He said the place has a really bad reputation now. I won't go down there. A lot of people avoid it because the word has spread among certain crowds that this is not a safe place to be on the weekends at all. I don't know how I assume for brunch you're safe. I don't know. But when you're having to offer over $100 an hour just to lure police officers from 70 miles away to drive into downtown to work security on the weekends, something's wrong.
Well, they might have to offer even more an hour to lure people from farther out after this happened, because word will spread in some of those rural communities. Stop driving into downtown St. Louis and working seconds.
And I feel sorry for the officer. I mean, he clearly, the suspect, they said, pulled a gun. He pulled his own gun, told him to drop it, and then the shooting happened. So we'll talk more about this throughout the course of the morning. We'll get to Kim on a whim when we come back. Stay tuned.
Kim on a whim.
We've heard of cases where, you know, a baker has been targeted, or I believe the most recent one I've heard about was a graphic designer was targeted, where a couple wanted them to do something for them, a same-sex couple, and they declined because of their personal beliefs. And they ended up having lawsuits, right, filed. And in the two cases I'm thinking of, they've won.
Right. And in fact, the I believe it's the state of Colorado has some, what do they call it? I think they call it a civil rights commission or something like that, that also leveled fines against a business owner. And they ended up winning in court, and the state of Colorado had to pay them a big settlement.
And that's how it should be.
Yes.
There's now a pizzeria in Tennessee that's having this exact same thing happen to them. Has not escalated to the point of a lawsuit, but mark my words, when we're talking in a couple months, that might be the case.
It will.
It might. Because people are absolutely flipping out over this pizzeria that's in Red Bank, Tennessee, which I guess is near Chattanooga. And they were asked to cater a same-sex wedding, and they declined. But they had a very nice comment about it. They said, look, this isn't about judgment. This is just something that doesn't align with our personal beliefs. You know, we've just opted not to do this.
There's a pizza store on every corner. Go to a different pizza place.
Yeah, but it's not about that for the couple or that group in particular.
Of course not.
So they have just put this small business through the ringer. People are lighting them up on social media, all these bad reviews. There was supposedly some Facebook event where people were told, if you're same-sex couple, to go in front of the business during business hours and start kissing. To basically make people feel very uncomfortable. So thank goodness there was a counter protest to try to shut that whole thing down. But it's just been ridiculous.
Where is this in Tennessee?
This is near Chattanooga.
Okay.
And it's called Cortile. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
I mean,
the pizza
surprised.
Looks fantastic.
Yeah.
You're surprised why?
Well, I'm surprised because I know that particular area. It's relatively conservative. And we're not talking about a big city like downtown Nashville. The outskirts of Chattanooga are probably fairly conservative when it comes to, you know, family issues and things like that. I'm just a little surprised there would be a large enough community to cause them to lose business over that.
But the thing is, people get so riled up about this, it takes on a life of its own. And people from surrounding communities are so passionate about this, I feel like they would travel just to show their support.
Oh, maybe.
I mean,
maybe.
Think if something happened like this at a business in St. Charles. That's a pretty conservative area. But you think about all the people who would travel here from St.
Yeah.
Louis to protest that.
I mean, agree.
Is there a university near Chattanooga?
Well, the University of Tennessee has a branch at Chattanooga, I believe. I don't know if there's another school there or not.
But one of the
Chattanooga is nothing like St. Louis when it comes to politics. But I would agree with you. I'm just a little surprised for that area that they would garner that kind of attention.
One of the news stations went out and did a story about pizzeria serves up controversy with gay wedding stands. But what does Tennessee law say? They have an attorney on there and basically says, yeah, it mentions you can't discriminate based on race, religion, sex. But it's missing a key term that, in my opinion, backs up what this pizzeria did, which is it doesn't mention anything about sexual orientation.
Okay.
So you every business has a right to say, hey, we're not going to. It's not the same, because I think people feel like it's the same as saying the gay person walking up to them inside their pizza store or shop, whatever, and saying, hey, I'd like a slice of pizza. And they're saying, I'm sorry, we cannot serve you because of your sexual orientation. That's not what they're saying. They're just saying we can't put our company.
We're not catering
your event. There's a local bookstore, I guess, in Chattanooga that had partnered with this pizzeria for quite some time. They had hosted the pizzeria because I guess they also have a food truck. And listen to what one of the guys from this local bookstore was saying about this.
There's nothing to say that they have to cater a same-sex wedding, just as there's not a law that says that we have to go there.
Book and Cover had a partnership with the pizza shop, but posted this statement on social media saying they decided to end it.
We as the queer community should work to put the businesses on a pedestal who do support us and do work to make the city a better place.
Sure. Sure you should.
Yeah. You have.
If that's how you feel. Talk. Well, you know, you can vote with your dollars. You can.
I mean,
America. Just don't do business if you don't like it.
So I agree with what that guy is saying, that they can choose to end the partnership. They can choose to not go there and eat and, like you said, vote with their dollar, essentially. But I think where I draw the line and why I get so frustrated about this is that people then want to do, like I mentioned earlier, the kissing protest or whatever they called it. They take it way too far. They want to cancel the business, cancel the person. If they don't have their same set of beliefs,
yes,
they just look at them as bigots. And I'm feeling like we're going to see more and more of this happening because things just keep getting more and more polarized. And now with Trump in office, there are some very angry people at you know, who their president is, and they're going to say, not my president, and I don't have to adhere to this. And I feel like we're going to see more of this happening. People are going to find any little thing they can, in this case,
probably
a poor pizzeria in Chattanooga, to target their anger.
And to your point, you can go back through the past five or six administrations, and I'll guarantee you'll find this to be the case. Because in 1988 or 89, George H.W. Bush was still president. And and there was a march for the homeless in Washington. So marches for people like that, the women's march with the pink hats, only happen when Republicans are in office, right? That's when the activists come crawling out of the woodwork because they're not getting catered to by the progressive left. And they want to complain about the policies, which they're perfectly able to do as long as it's peaceful. But you're right. There will be an increased presence of folks who hate. There's a bunch of them have TDS anyway. That won't help the situation. That will agitate it.
When you mentioned the March for the Homeless, was that the official name of the march?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm
this
sorry,
was brilliant.
That would never fly now. You know what it would be called
the
in
unhoused,
2025.
March
right,
for the
March
unhoused.
For the Unhoused.
Well, here's what happened. They collected a bunch of money. I was working in Dayton, Ohio as a TV reporter. They collected a bunch of money from local corporations. They rented out a bunch of Greyhound kind of buses, and they announced they were driving people to Washington, D.C., and on each bus, they had to have a certain number of homeless people. And they decided to invite some local reporters to go with them, which seemed like a great idea at the time, seemed like a lot of fun. We'll go spend the day in Washington, D.C. and get a bus ride back and blah, 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 except it was wintertime and it was cold. And when the bus heated up and all these people that hadn't bathed in a long time started stinking, we were rethinking that.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing that happened. All these homeless people just wanted a one-way ticket to Washington, D.C. They weren't on the bus on the way back. They stayed there because they knew that they would get more resources in the nation's capital.
They didn't want to attend their own march?
I don't know if they marched. I assume they marched, but they stayed in D.C. when they were done. And if you go there today, there are probably still some of them living there in tents. And that was 30 years ago. Downtown D.C. is littered with homeless tents.
Unhoused, Mark.
The unhoused, whatever you want to call them.
I haven't seen any here in St. Louis. I think it's a little bit too cold for anybody who's trying to stay outside. But we know a lot of them don't want to go to the shelter, regardless of how cold it is.
Because they can't drink or take drugs, yes.
They can't do all of that stuff. But I'll see some of them who are sleeping by the manholes. What am I thinking of?
Oh, by the sewers?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
yes, thank you. Where it's nice and warm, I guess.
Warmer. I did notice down here at the old criminal courts building across from Enterprise Center in the Keel, that used to be a homeless hangout, those steps down there. Somebody kicked in a door that used to be below the steps, and for all I know, there's a bunch of them living in there. So there you have it.
I'm
unhoused update.
Thank you, Mark. Brought to you by. I'm just really eager to see what happens over the next several months. Like you said, I think that these are going to ramp up, and it just makes me so sad for these businesses, because even if they win the case, like the baker has, or like the graphic designer has, or if this escalates to the point of a lawsuit with this pizzeria in Chattanooga, it still impacts their business.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what makes me really sad. And they people just will not probably let this go. They're just so angry about it. And again, going back to what I mentioned earlier, which was the Tennessee Human Rights Act, it says you can't discriminate based on race, creed, color, religion, sex, age, or national origin. It says nothing about sexual orientation. You have every right to say, hey, based on my personal beliefs, I just can't do this. And I think there's a right and a wrong way to go about that. Obviously, you're not going to be like, you're ridiculous, and just like the pizzeria did. Hey, we've decided we're not going to take part in this, and they were kind about it, and it's just not enough for people. It's all about inclusivity, and you have to affirm me, even if what you're doing goes against your values and your morals. You have to affirm me, because that's the loving thing to do.
Yep.
And that's just
it's
not
coming.
Love. It's not love to lie to somebody. It's not love. I have so many thoughts on this. I feel for this pizzeria. If you're going to the Chattanooga area, Pizzeria Cortile, I believe I'm saying that correctly.
Spell it.
Go give them some business. Cortile. I was looking for a GoFundMe page. I didn't see one, but gosh, I hope.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised they don't have one.
Well, and maybe there is one and I just didn't. Maybe it's under some different name. I don't know.
It must be really good pizza. Like number one.
It looks amazing.
I can't imagine how I'd get laughed out of town if I suggested we had a pizza buffet at the wedding. Right?
Well,
who's having a pizza buffet at the wedding?
Yeah. Well, unless maybe it was, you know, like a midnight snack. We did a late night snack, although I forgot about it at my own wedding and didn't eat any of it.
Of course you did.
I'm clearly
how many drinks
3 years
did you
later,
start and not finish at your own wedding?
I don't think
you were
I had
too
a
busy taking pictures.
I don't think I had a full drink at my wedding.
Of course, you didn't get around to doing that. All right, we're going to be back here in just a couple minutes. We're trying to get you a report out of New Orleans this morning to get to the latest on this terrorist attack down there, which, of course, the FBI initially told us was not a terrorist attack because every day people drive trucks through crowds of people and open fire in full body armor. Give me a break. We're trying to get you a live report from down there. Later in the show, though, we've got Jim Talent joining us. We are going to get to Tom Ackerman, talk about the big football games that happen over the weekend. And Griff Jenkins is going to join us. He was one of the ones with some of the initial reporting yesterday on this terror suspect and that truck that was spotted coming across the border at Eagle Pass. So we'll get that straight from the mouth of one Griff Jenkins at about the 8 o'clock hour this morning. We're back in just a minute.
Are you getting the sense that there's any threat of any other potential attacks tonight on any other major cities?
I can't answer that. I can, but I won't.
Is New Orleans safe tonight?
Yes, but we're still in the process of tightening up security. We're still in the process of doing everything that we possibly can. The governor's called out the National Guard. We've got more FBI coming. We've got Homeland Security people. We've got state troopers who've done an awesome job. We've got the NOPD. We're doing everything we can. But like I say, there's a lot of information out there. Some of it's accurate.
Yeah, John Kennedy saying that he could, but he won't give you information on whether or not there's concern about other about other attacks. Or that was an odd way to answer that. But why not be honest with us? Right?
John Kennedy, of all people, doesn't tend to hold back.
No, he doesn't. And I'm not quite sure why he would have held back last night. I listened to a soundbite from Corey Mills. I don't know if you know who that is. He's a congressman. And I could not have agreed with him more on what he said on Fox last night about this whole thing. Listen to this. Hold on. Let me make sure my computer's up over here. That's operator error, not Ethan's fault. Here we go.
This is not a terrorist event. What it is right now is there improvised explosive devices that was found. And we are working on confirming if this is a viable device or not.
Why say that categorically when you had to correct yourself about an hour or so later?
Well, again, I can't wait to get confirmed. Pete Hegseth, the SecDef, Kash Patel there in the FBI, and Tulsi Gabbard at ODNI. That's going to clean up a lot of this mess, because I can tell you this is absolutely a terrorist attack and probably one of many. I wouldn't be surprised either if the symbolism of the Tesla truck blowing up in front of the Trump Tower wasn't somehow tied in on this as a way to try and intimidate and or threat President Trump. So what I would say is this. We need to determine whether or not this individual, Ben Jabbar, did in fact go into Mexico 2 days ago. What that could tell us is that there's potentially a joint operational center of sorts with ISIS or with other terrorist factions in Mexico who are commanding and giving activation orders. And so we need to start thinking about where the ties are. We need to start looking at how they were activated in extremism as become a prevalent manner, and then also what the motive was behind this. But I can tell you, this was absolutely a terrorist attack, and to rule that out by the FBI is foolish.
Yeah, thank you, Corey Mills.
Why would there have even been hesitation about calling it a terrorist attack, given what was found in the vehicle and the fact that he had an ISIS flag?
Yeah, Well,
and I do think that those two are connected. What happened in Vegas outside the Trump Hotel and what happened in New Orleans. I don't think that's just a coincidence.
There's too much coincidence. Now, they were both EVs, both rented by through the same
Turo
company.
Turo or whatever.
We know that. Turo. But you have to think, particularly the one in Vegas, a Tesla truck outside of a Trump hotel. Elon Musk has been all over this like stink on crap. Can I just tell you that? He's been tearing them up on Twitter. He gave them more information about the truck, where it had been, where it came from, what its readings were, that it wasn't. They wanted you to believe. Like the AP, here's the AP story right after this happened. One person dies when a Tesla truck catches fire and explodes outside Trump's Las Vegas hotel. Elon Musk retweeted that and wrote, AP stands for Associated Propaganda. Thank you, Elon, for pointing that out. If you look at the video of this, you don't have to be an explosives expert to see this was an explosion in the bed of the truck. The whole truck didn't blow up. In fact, the Tesla truck contained the explosion and directed it up. I don't even think like anybody was injured in the hotel. The doors were right there. And that the explosion went up. So at least Elon has been on social media correcting this. Like he's been on top of helping the police. The police were praising him for how quickly he got back to them with information on this truck. I guess they can track all of them. I mean, that's the other thing to know about. If you buy one of these vehicles, your every movement is being tracked by whoever owns the EV company. They can track you all across the country. He even told them where it had been charged. He showed them video from charging stations where the truck had been charged that quickly.
It's kind of also scary that they can get that much information that quickly.
No kidding. No kidding. Give me a pocket full of cash and a gas-burning vehicle and let them try to keep up with me. I'll just tell you that right now. All right. Coming up next hour, Tom Ackerman in with more on Mizzou's big win and the football game. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.